This episode of Digital Free Thought Radio was originally broadcast on September 27th, 2017.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, things I thought were true. Someday I'd break the big taboo. Letting go, oh God.
Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Doubter 5, and as usual we have Wombat on the phone with us. Can you say, welcome to the air. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show for atheists, free thought, rational thought, humanism and the sciences, and conversely we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. If you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're not.
You're not alone.
No. There are several atheist and rationalist groups that exist here right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I'll tell you how you can connect with them later on in the show. Also, did you know that there has been an atheist call-in television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville? Did you know that, Wombat?
I was aware of the show. I think it's probably one of the best shows on TV, but only because of the theme song. I mean, it's about these ducks, right? And they have this big old duck who's like their uncle or something, and he has this giant pool of money, and you dive through. And I remember watching when I was kids. And man, that brings back memories.
Anyway, they're bringing
it back now, and I'm not happy. I think the animation quality isn't as good, but I'm still hopeful. I hope
you still haven't got the right show.
Keep
casting around; you'll find it. And it hasn't been on since you were a kid. Anyway, it's only been on 7 years, but that's 7 whole years. And it's been broadcasting right here in Knoxville. We'll tell you how you can watch it later on in the show, too. And in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are some atheist songs out there. You just heard one of them during the intro. That was Letting Go of God, which is the theme song of Julia Sweeney's one-woman show and how she let go of God. Let's see. You're bringing the topic tonight, I think, Wombat. What do you got for us?
I think I got the topic. I think I have more than just a topic. I have an opportunity to save your soul, Outer Five.
Oh, okay? Really?
Are you ready? Last time we were talking, we went over some apologetics, and we learned, you know, how to defend ourselves from, you know, some catchphrases or some simple tactics a lot of theists may use to convince you that the God's true. But let me tell you something. We were talking about, I guess, the flavor without the pudding. There's a substance behind it. There's gods that exist that are worthwhile for good apologetics. And I want to put those in action to you today. I want to present to you not just one, but 7 entirely novel gods.
Okay, now you're using the word existent like I wouldn't use it. You say they exist. You really mean the concept of them existed and in the past, right?
Well, how about this? We'll go through them one by one, but they actually follow a theme. Mm-hmm. And I think when we go over the theme, I think you'll understand more of what I mean. Because it's a little bit in between what we're both talking
considering
about.
Considering there are 10,000 gods that humans have worshipped in the history of humanity, we're going to pick out a few and talk about them? Okay, why not?
We're going to pick out several, exactly 7.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty
7.
Good way to start.
That's a lucky number.
The reason why I'm picking, I think it has a lot of significance in religions for the most part.
Yeah.
But what's cool is it's based off the 7 days of the week.
Okay.
I think today is Wednesday, right?
Wednesday, all day long.
Our show showed up on Wednesday. Huh? We used to be on Sundays, but we're a Wednesday show now. We also have other days of the week, such as Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, all days that we're really familiar with, that we think have existed as they have been since the beginning of time. You pick up your Bible, you'll see God made the world in 7 days. You pick up a Quran, you'll see it says in 7 days God made the world. Mm-hmm. You see Greek gods are based off 7 days. You'll see Roman gods that filled in for 7 days. A lot of different kinds of religions, whether they're monotheistic or pantheist-based, have seven, and particularly our seven-day calendar in a Georgian calendar.
Yeah. Well, which one did we name after Yahweh?
We didn't name any of them after God. That's an interesting point.
How could that be?
No! So Christianity actually has a really interesting thing, because we use, or Christians, at least when I was a Christian, and I think Christians even today, use the seven-day system, which is actually, in terms of names, based on the Roman idea of God's names, which is actually based on the Greek interpretation of gods. So let's do a quick history lesson real quick. Let's go all the way back to Babylonian era. Babylonians used to mark time with a lunar month, or the moon.
Yeah.
And they used that in order to figure out when to, like, harvest, what time the seasons would change, etc.
We could have 13 28-day months. Right.
Exactly. And then over time, when Greeks took over, they followed more or less the same system where they utilized their own gods and applied that to the seven-day system that the Babylonians had established. And what they did was they substituted each one of their own particular gods for each one of the days of the week. So Ares, Hermes, Zeus, Aphrodite, Cronus would all be a specific day of the week. But when the Romans took over, the Romans basically substituted their own equivalent gods for those days of the week.
Right.
So what you would have is, instead of Ares, Hermes, and Zeus for like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you'd have Mars, Mercury, and Jove, or Jupiter. And what we've done, as those names kind of sound familiar to you, it's because scientists today have used those Greek gods as means to name our planets in our solar system. So things like Saturn, Venus, Jupiter, Mercury,
right.
and Mars.
Right.
Those are the names of our planets, but they used to be the names of the days back in Greek times.
Mm-hmm.
Then, when the Germanic people took over, or when the Greeks, more or less, their culture separated, and you started to have more Germanic troops or Germanic people who worshiped their own gods, they presented new names for each day of the week. But they didn't replace all of the days. For example, I had mentioned Saturn as one of the days of the week that gods use. Maybe that's where we can start today.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn is Saturday.
Right.
It's the same name for each, and it's actually named after a god. How about we work on Saturday? I like the planet Saturn. We both agree that Saturn exists. Mm-hmm. And Saturn is also, like, as a planet exists,
right.
but it also used to be the name of the Roman god of agriculture. And listen, I don't know about you, but I love food. I can talk about food all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I know you do too. Food sustains you, and you can't have sustainment without a god.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do today is go over each of these planets, and I think I can sell you on the concept of each of these gods.
Okay.
Using the theme of the 7 days. So let's go to the first day, Saturday. Yo, you know, you love agriculture. You love food. He's the god of age and happiness. He's Saturn, named after the Roman god Saturn, equals one to one, irreplaceable. You got to believe in him.
Well, I don't either. But I certainly do think that agriculture plays a humongous, if not a central part in human life on Earth. If we didn't have it, we certainly couldn't support humanity in the numbers that we have today. Most of us would die, and the rest of us would go back to hunting and gathering. So agriculture is certainly important, but that doesn't mean that the god for it, that they used to name for it, is existed. But I think as gods go, it would be a better god than the terrible god that gives us so many plagues and earthquakes and floods in the Bible. So, And that particular god wouldn't send us to hell for, you know, transgressions.
I think I'm short-selling Saturn now. Like, Saturn is, by Greek standards, the father of Zeus. So think about this. You're working every day. You're working, you're toiling, you're trying to get all your sacrifices ready for praising the god. Then Saturday rolls around, and it's party time, because you know what? When daddy comes home, everyone has fun. And so you're working all day, but then you get that day off, and that's the time you're happy. And the happiness that you feel is the love of Zeus's father, Cronus, or otherwise known as Titan by the Greeks, or Saturn by the Romans.
Really? Oh, cool.
Saturday! Everyone's happy on Saturday, and you have to admit it's for a reason.
And you know what's better than Saturday?
Aren't your feelings proof of fact?
Saturday, I mean, Saturday night is better than Saturday.
Isn't your feelings a proof of the fact? Have you ever been happy on a Saturday? Like, where did that feeling come from?
Yeah,
it clearly comes from a god.
Yeah, sure. I'm skeptical.
How can you prove me wrong?
How can you prove yourself right?
Since when is that important?
You got to follow the evidence.
I like Saturday. Maybe as a god, not as a very promising one. Mm-hmm. But it's a very, very interesting thing to know that there's so much history and words that we may take for granted, even in a Christian context, that we can like say, hey, you know, Saturday actually came from the Roman god Saturn, which actually came from the Greek, you know, anthology of Cronus, who is the father of Zeus, or basically ruled the entire universe until he was dethroned by Zeus himself. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's really interesting that it goes back as far as that. But I think the one I really wanted to start with, the true winner, is the true God you can't deny exists. And that is the Lord and Savior himself, the Son.
The Son.
Named for Sunday, the Son. Okay, so check this out.
Uh-huh.
If we're going to define what a God is in realistic terms, it has to be something that nourishes, has to be something that's very powerful, has to be something that has existed, and without it, we would all die, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Son fulfills literally every single one of those properties.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people on this earth who actually do worship the sun as a god.
Yeah.
So what is your problem with them?
I don't have a problem with them. Matter of fact, a lot of people or believers ask me when they find out I'm an atheist, they says, okay, if you had to pick a god, which god would you pick? And of course it would have to be Ra, the sun god. It would have to be Sol. One, you can prove he exists just by looking up in the sky during the daytime. Two, nobody can argue the fact that he gives life to everything on earth, and without it we would all die. He nourishes the plants, which nourish our bodies, you know, just one thing after another. But as far as gods go, that's another whole level of baggage to throw on, a star, basically, which is all it is, just a star. But, I mean, when you say the word God, you're talking about agency. You're talking about intelligence and methods and means and purposes. And none of that is present in the star itself. It's just there due to forces of gravity and matter that come together, turn on, begin a fusion reaction, and start shining and shine for billions of years.
When you say that, don't you feel like you're explaining more about the how and not the why? Like, sure.
Well, there is no why.
You can all agree that the sun is
me. I mean, other than the fact that the how is the why, there is no should. There is no why, a purpose to it. We can just be glad that it's there, and we can add purpose to our own lives. Matter of fact, there's several layers of purpose that we could give ourselves throughout our life. And I think there's hardly anything more important than picking a good purpose for your own life, especially better than letting some church do it for you.
Okay, but as a God, isn't it amazing that we would have a God that basically has no agency, that has no will for us or desire for us to live in a certain way, that has no afterlife to send us to, has no mandates of what the sin is or what evil is, lets us have the right to live our way that however we want to live it, lets us have complete freedom and control, live by the consequences of our own actions.
Right.
That's a beautiful mm-hmm. deity.
Right. It's not so much that he doesn't have a purpose for us. His purpose is to let us determine our own purpose and to give us the freedom to do so, and no afterlife or no punishment if we choose wrong or if we just live it wrong. It's great.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
So, are you on? Did I win you over? Are you on the pro?
I'm on board with Saul.
Wow.
One thing that we might want to mention about Saturday and Sunday, going back just for a second, you're talking about enjoying Saturday and not having to work and just being free and all that stuff. And free responsibilities, but the Jewish belief has the Sabbath on Saturday, But Christians have moved the Sabbath to Sunday. So between the two religions, they cover the entire weekend, and you don't have to work.
Oh, you're min-maxing. I see what you're doing. Yeah. So I'll tell you this, though. All right, so I wouldn't say this might be on a little bit of a silly context, but I'm wondering, when you get sunburned, since you are now officially a worshiper of the sun god, what does it mean to get sunburned? What is that the god trying to tell you in that capacity?
Oh, you're spending too much time in his radiant presence. How's that?
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously that's too bad. That's too much.
And let me take just a second while we're here to throw out the phone number in case anybody wants to join our conversation. The number here is 865-333-5937. That's Knoxville, 333-5937. Phone lines are open. Okay, go ahead.
And it was really interesting that you said that because if the Sabbath day is the last day of the week, a lot of people would then say that Saturday is the last day of the week, which would have been the day that God had rested in the Christian context, whereas some Georgian calendars have been swapped in that certain sects of Christianity have made Sunday the last day of the week, which I don't like because, I don't know, I like weekends being on both ends of the week, you know? It's a semantics issue for me. But I have gone to Europe, and their calendars in a lot of places, particularly in Sweden, will have both weekends or on the same side of the calendar, and with Sunday being the official end of that week. And it's a bit jarring to, like, see that. It's just like, wow, that's really bizarre. But, you know, there's a really cool history behind why we call Sunday the Sunday. And it's because a lot of people happen to worship the sun or Helio and have that day in remembrance of him. When you think about it, when you're just a person, maybe, like, whether you're a peasant or a priest or even a king in like medieval times or even in, or early Babylonian times, the sun is a very impressive presence, particularly if it's not one that you can easily explain. I mean, it's this giant ball of heat that hovers in the sky and makes light for everything, heat for everything, and more or less food for everything. And it's imperative to survive on. And when you can't see it, things can come out and hurt you or kill you or eat you. So you have this connotation of the sun brings protection, the sun brings joy, the sun brings warmth, food, security, nourishment. And I can imagine I don't doubt why that is like the first day of the week or like in terms of naming things, why that got day number one. Because it seems like it's one of the most important things for a lot of people.
Yeah. And they have a big mystery too, or they did back then, when the sun went away every day or every night. And just, they had to worry about where it went. Were the gods warring? Or the one, the night god going to win over the sun god, and the sun won't come back the next day. And they had prayers that they would offer up to hopefully help the sway the battle. It's, you know, it was kind of a mystery to them too.
Sure, I would have it only. So, again, with all the guys that I'll probably be presenting today, I feel like Sunday has probably the easiest claim in terms of trying to sway over atheists, in terms of, like, or sway over non-believers, because it can be demonstrated to exist. My only issue, though, would be, is calling it a god necessary and sufficient? And those are typically the two qualities that I need to have for something to be more than just a label.
Necessary
and sufficient. Necessary and sufficient.
Oh, sufficient. Okay.
Yes, because I can call anything I want a god. I can hold a pair of sunglasses in my hand and call that a god.
Or a milk
bottle.
But
is it necessary and sufficient for me to call it a god? And by that I mean, does the thing, by calling it a god, is it necessary for it to be called that god? If I remove that label, does it become any less of what it is, or is it the exact same thing by just a different name? And if I were to move the concept of a god away from it, does it debilitate that object or concept in any way, shape, or form? If I took away the term god, or took away all the godlike qualities from the sun, I would still have a giant ball of plasma, of helium and hydrogen atoms fusing together, releasing heat, that's still warming planets within its solar system diameter or range, for the most part. I wouldn't need to apply an agency to it. I wouldn't need to apply a desire to it or some anthology about how to create the universe or something like that. It still is what it is, whether I call it Henry, Frank, a god, or a lampshade. And at that point, I can't be persuaded to believe that it's necessary and sufficient to call it a god. And as a result, I don't have a lot of confidence that it's absolutely that,
mm-hmm.
a god. And I may, in fact, just be defining a god into existence by pointing to something that already exists and calling it something that it isn't actually.
A lot of people do that with the universe or everything. They'll call it a god when it's really not necessary. I mean, if they'll say the universe is a god. I'm a pantheist. Universe is a god. And I'll say, well, does the god have agency? No. Then why do you call it a god?
Yeah.
You know, if it's just the universe, we already have a word for that.
Right.
And it just muddies the water.
Right. Exactly. Has it sufficed its existence by calling it by anything else? Or is it any way less sufficient of what it is by what it is if you called it by anything else? Calling it by anything else other than a god, if I call it a pair of scissors, does it really change what it is? If I said, hey, we're going to call the thing that's in the sky pants now, does that change what the thing is at all? Most likely doesn't. Yeah. And for the most part, it's just a label. And you can say, hey, well, Tyrone, I can call you Mary. I can call you Stanley. I can call you by anything. And I can say that's correct because it's not necessary and sufficient to call me Tyrone or my name Wombat or whatever you want to call
me
because it's just a label that you gave me. And for the most part, we come up with names so that when I say something, you can understand what I'm referring to. But it doesn't inherently give that thing the property that I'm giving it the label of.
Right. But
so we need to make that distinction.
Yeah, right. And the thing about it is the word wombat, you know, although it means animal, if I called you wombat, we understand that it doesn't have any additional meanings other than just a label. However, there are words and they have meanings and they have power. And if you use one word for something that it isn't, then you're trying to ascribe the properties of that and the more than just a label to that thing. And that's what people are doing when they try to call like the universe God or the sun God. They're trying to wedge their preconceived notions of a God into this inanimate object. People have been doing that for for millennia.
And there's a danger with that because there's a very popular phrase. It basically says anything repeated 6,722 times becomes a truth. Any lie basically repeated 6,722 times becomes a truth.
Yeah,
and
Goebbels
the funny thing is,
like
the
that.
Number doesn't the number doesn't matter. The number doesn't actually matter. What it is basically just saying that if you hear something enough times, it becomes less of an issue for you to believe that it's true. You become desensitized to the fact that it's not true. It could be more easily persuaded that it's true.
Right.
It's basically
if you hear the gospel every week for, you know, while you're growing up and by the time you're 10 years old, you've heard it thousands of times and it becomes part of your entity and it's hard for you to let that kind of thing go, even though you're intellectually, you think that you should, and you probably should, because there's no evidence. But it's really terrible or hard for a lot of people to turn loose of that.
It's not even just people. It could be an entire culture. What happens when a culture of people hear the same thing over and over again? Mm-hmm. It becomes ingrained in that society.
Yeah.
And then even the individuals who may stray from that will have a lot of friction in the society because they're going against the grain.
Yeah.
So it goes, it comes on a lot of different levels. And that's why it's important to call things what they are. You can call something a label. You can use the labels to reference something. But it should also come with the understanding that just because you're using that word doesn't necessarily mean that you're giving the attributes to the thing.
Right.
You need to understand that they're separate things, and only when it's necessary and sufficient should something be absolutely connotized to whatever you're trying to refer to it as.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's very few things that are like that. Mostly just numbers or logical statements or so. But for the most part, everything that we use to communicate with each other is an intangible label that's just helped to give us some concepts of what we're trying to refer to ease conversation as we move forward.
Right.
I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. And if the listener is having a hard time questioning or getting the answers that they want from their religion and they're questioning, be aware that there are preachers in the pulpit right now that are atheists. They're preaching that only because they can't turn it loose. They would lose their jobs, their friends, their family, and you know, it would turn their life inside out. But still, they manage to do it. There's a project out there called the Clergy Project, which is basically a halfway house for preachers, imams, priests who no longer believe and are trying to transition from clergy, basically, to a real secular life. So go online. If you're one of those people or know someone like that, go online and look up The Clergy Project, and it might be able to help you.
The good thing about them is they are open 24 hours a day. You can call them when the sun's up or when the moon's up. And speaking of the moon, we got those Mondays.
Monday,
you know those Monday blues.
Monday.
You know, Sunday you're happy. It's the weekend. Monday you come to work and you're just feeling like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
It's the grind. But, you know, sometimes you need that to feel happy again. You need the lows to feel the highs. And that's what the moon's all about, baby. When the sun comes down, the moon comes up. And that's what Monday's named after, the moon.
Yeah.
We call it the moon here, but it was always called Monday or the second day of the week because it's sometimes the most second important thing that people can see in the celestial expanse that we know as the sky. The ancient Greeks called it Hermes Selenus. My accent's not good in Greek, but they called it the day of the moon. In Latin, it was called Deus Lunae, or the Day of the Moon. Mm-hmm. In Old English, we called it Monandag, which was Day of the Moon. Middle English also called it Mondays. So we've been calling Monday the Moon Day for as long as recorded, written down history of all language has been. And that's kind of cool. But for the same reason why we wouldn't call the sun a god, we wouldn't call the moon a god. Right?
Right. It's an inanimate object. It's basically a big rock, a huge rock.
It's a big rock that we apply a label to, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it is whatever that label has in terms of attributes.
Yeah. I'm not going to the cheese.
We can call it a god, but it doesn't make it a god. We can just be people calling it a god.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to the cheese issue again after last time.
You are too dangerous. But anyway, we just went through the first three. I got four more gods. These are some of the best gods. They have some of the best movies.
Really?
And they're coming up. I'm ready for it. So if you want to do this after we come back from the break.
Go ahead and do Tuesday if you want to. We still got about 3 or 4 minutes for the break. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So check this out. This is one of the coolest gods. Ares, the Greek god of war. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the third day of the week. And when you think about it, when you're growing up in the middle of nowhere with people attacking you, worrying about animals and agriculture, war is a big concept.
Well, sure.
Conquest is a huge concept.
Yeah.
And then when the Greeks called it Ares, the Romans called it Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Mars, the god of war.
Yeah.
But eventually, English and Germanic people of the Teutonic belief system called it Tua. Or Tua, which meant basically god of war and the sky, and it was also attributed to the Norse god Tyr, and now we call it Tuesday. We have basically Tuesday in remembrance of the day of the god of war.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? That's amazing. That's so cool.
That is true.
And
a lot of people don't realize. A lot of people don't realize that Yahweh, the Christian god, was the old, of course, Jewish god. Who, back in the days when they had multiple deities, he was the war god, which is why there's so much war in the Bible, and where they always called upon him before battles and before major wars.
That's fascinating.
So Yahweh was the war god. Go ahead.
I had no idea. That makes a lot of sense, because when you actually read the New Testament, a lot of times when people rely on God is during wartime or when things are going really
and
bad,
think about
or
what it,
people to like get out.
And think about what it does to the society that chooses him as their one and only God, as your war god.
It's the most spread God for the most part. It's a great propaganda machine for the most part, war.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting in that the first actual conceptual God, the first God that's not something that's visible in the sky, tends to be the most important god in terms of, I guess, all these different cultures that we're bringing up, Greeks, the Romans, or at least the most integral to, like, human society. And war, if Yahweh is also a war god, like, this falls right into, he's the first god in terms of, as we understand a god to be, conceptual god of the week, conceptual god, the first one to be presented in this list. Because you have the sun, you have the moon, and then you have a god for the most part. And if it's Aries, Mars, and Tui, and Yahweh, that's pretty cool. That means probably that Yahweh was really, really important to the people to use him as the first god of the week.
Yeah, yeah. True, true. I guess we better go for the break now.
Okay.
For the song, I'm going to, just as a reminder that it's only 3 months till Christmas, I'm going to start the season off. I'll have people coming wanting to shoot me now. This is, quote, the Atheist Christmas Carol, and I like it because it's just a very pretty song. But here you go, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And this is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Doubter 5, and this is the Free Thought Radio Hour. Say hi, Wombat.
Wombat says hello!
And he always does a great job of doing just that. Now, let's talk about the Free Thought groups that are here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. November marks our 15th year. ASK has 750 members now. Did you know that, Wombat?
We just got that. Of course I knew that. How dare you ask me that?
750th member today. And you can find them online.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. At KnoxvilleAtheist.org. Or you can go directly to meetup.com and look for Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. Also, you can join us in person at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday at West Hills Taps and Flats on Kingston Pike, near Westtown Mall, where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everybody is welcome. That is, as long as you don't preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Matt Dillahunty. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville is the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around longer than ASK has, at 20 years. RET has biweekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sunday in the Goins Administration Building Cafeteria Annex. If that's too much to remember, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events. And when you go on campus, just follow the signs. There's also a Sunday Assembly, which started in England just a few years ago and is a spread around the world now. It's a no-God church setting for those who have had enough of religion but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. They only meet once a month, though, on the fourth Sunday, downtown near the fairgrounds at the International Building. That's regular church time, about 10:30. If you want to find them, just go to meetup.com and look for Sunday Assembly. There's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to every free-thinking high school and college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement or who would just like to find other free thinkers to hang with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. And finally, we have the TV show we were talking about. The atheist call-in TV show is called Free Thought Forum, and you can see it every Tuesday between 5 and 6 on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter 192. I said every Tuesday, but about once a month they get preempted by a government meeting. So if you tune in and you see, like, chambers of Knoxville government, then you know that's that Tuesday, and you'll just need to tune back in the next week. Every Tuesday at 5 on Comcast Channel 12. If you don't have cable, you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org, or you can also find archives of some of the Free Thought forums on YouTube, where a fan has been recording and posting them. Just go to YouTube and search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville, and you'll find them. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV or radio show, just come to any ASK or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could become our next co-host or guest. And that's it for the announcements. So, Wombat, you want to pick up with what, Wednesday now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Wednesday, that's right. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we're talking about the 7 days of the week and how each of them are based on a particular god. They tend to be slightly different named gods throughout history. And what I mean by that is that the Greeks had an idea of what each day of the week was and how that correlates with a specific god. And then when the Roman Empire took over, the Romans basically substituted their own gods in more or less the same places and the same roles as the ones that the Greeks had. And then when the Roman Empire fell apart and eventually we had Germanic people going around, we had basically the Germanic or the Totemic gods replace the Roman gods, but more or less in the same roles. And then for the most part, we've adopted the names as English has developed, but we never really considered where those gods or the names came from for the days of the week.
Yeah, most
even
people
to the
don't
point
think
where
about
we
it.
Have,
yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the point where we now have a Christian-based religion that has 7 days of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, at least for us, where we're totally satisfied that God made the world in 7 days, conveniently named after many other different
other
gods.
Yeah.
So we talked about Sunday, which was named after the sun, Monday, which was named after the moon. We talked about Saturday, which is actually named after the Roman god Saturn. We're now moving, and we also did, I think, Tuesday, right, which was named after the god of war. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, as a developing society, the sun's important, moon's important, and war is important. And then we move into Wednesday, which is the, what day of the week would this be? It would be the fourth day of the week, at least as far as the Georgian calendar is concerned.
Uh-huh.
And what do you think is really important to most people? If you're a developing society and war is important to you, what would you think is the next most important thing?
Beer.
Beyond war.
Beer.
Fear is a good one. Fear is a good one, too. But, like, why would you want to go and conquest someone? For what end?
To get their stuff.
To what end would you... To get their stuff.
Yeah.
To travel and get their money, basically. So we have, a god in the Greek pantheon known as Hermes. He's known as the god of commerce. Or a god of money, you know, the bling bling, a god of cunning and theft, but also a herald of all the other gods. And that seems to be the continuing role that was replaced when the Roman gods replaced Hermes with Mercury. And, the god of Mercury is also the god of commerce or money or, you know, things of value, including such things as eloquence and even science. And then overall, when Anglo-Saxon regime or the totemic god took over, we had the god Woden take over the god of Mercury's place. And Woden is actually kind of interesting because Woden is worshipped as the leader of the wild hunt. And the wild hunt, a concept of an afterlife where you basically live in perpetual hunting of these wild beasts in this glorified land in the totemic god. Religious paradigm. But again, it's something that was very valuable to the people who would go on hunting because you could trade those furs in for means to keep your family alive. It was very much a commerce-based system as well.
Right.
So if we were going to talk about like the four most important things, at least as far as like what the four most important days represent, you have the sun, you got the moon, you got your war. You know, you need your war god, but you also need your god of money, because you got to have that money, too. It seems like a lot of things were in order. What do you think about that, in terms of, like, how they thought back then and how we think today?
Well, it certainly makes sense. Yep. Now, I don't think we put much emphasis on war as they did back then. We're pretty much got our boundaries, and we're happy with them, for the most part.
You think, in America at least, but you know how much money we spend as a country on war, if you really consider it?
True.
Like one of our major exports is our military, and we put so much money into it. And I think as a result, that's why we have such secure borders, and for the most part, like, you know, all the people out there doing their best jobs they can, you know, keeping our countries, safe. But for the most part, we spend a lot of money in war, and we spend a lot of money in general. In service of keeping peace through agents of war for the most part.
Right.
And as a result, I think these are two core things that are important, not just to America today, but the people of Greece and Anglo-Saxon times and of Rome back then.
Yeah.
It's a thing about human nature that, you know, even the days of the week are ingrained with this idea of, you know, war and money. It's a very humanistic thing.
Sure.
And it says a lot for God that we've conceived of to make the universe in a format that follows very much the epitaphs of human nature.
Yeah, and our appetites.
basically. But I like Woden. There's some people listening, they may also know that the Norse god Odin is also named after our Wednesday. And the issue with that is that Anglo-Saxon times worshipped a lot of totemic gods. One of them was Woden, the leader of the wild hunt.
Uh-huh.
The Anglicanized name of Woden is Odin. And for those who are big fans of Norse lore, it's more or less the same god. So it's kind of a cool thing to see even Norse religious mythologies fall into the same pattern because it's all affected by the same thing. We're like, we're so related with each other. It's just a really, really cool thing to go over. I'm actually kind of glad we went over this today.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, speaking of war times and doing, like, really, really crazy stuff, or I'm trying to find a nice segue. You know what? Things that are really loud remind me of
what?
Thunder and lightning.
Oh yeah.
You know,
right.
the big bombs bursting in air.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I remember those. Like mm-hmm. I think that's part of our Star Spangled Banner. Our
sure.
theme song, the American theme song, is based on thunder and crashing. And you know what else is based on thunder and crashing? Thursday.
Uh-huh.
You gotta love Thursday.
Yeah.
Why do we call it Thursday? Let me see if you can guess.
Thursday. It's for Thor, the god of lightning and thunder.
God of lightning and thunder. And it's, again, another thing that I think people see in the sky, and they're just like, I can't
That's
explain that.
Important
Let's name
point.
A day after the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
After it. So you have Zeus, right?
Uh-huh.
Zeus is the Greek god. And we know that one of the cool things that we associate with Zeus is, you know, throwing lightning bolts from the sky. Maybe we've seen a lot of cartoons that have that, or a lot of pop culture references that have that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very accurate to the concept of what Zeus is capable of doing. A lot of people, including even sailors, would worship or give praise to Zeus for safe harbor and passages, you know, going over the seas. Or if there was a pretty big storm, they would say this is, you know, the wrath of Zeus going on, because it's a very prevalent thing to see lightning shoot from the sky
mm-hmm.
and hit the earth and be like, wow, that's clearly something that no other human being can do.
Yeah.
Obviously, that must be a god.
Mm-hmm. And then you see it hit somebody that you know, or maybe kill some of your livestock. You get a feeling for the power behind it and what it can do. And it's right out of the blue.
Yeah.
Nobody controls it.
It's terrifying. It's exactly
yeah.
what you're saying about fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's a very fear-inducing thing.
Mm-hmm.
It can only be controlled by a very powerful being. And who else than Zeus?
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, the Greeks actually didn't have Zeus as the absolute main god. That was, in fact, let me make sure I'm getting this right. It was, in fact, Saturn, or really Cronus was the main god. And through their mythology, Cronus was overthrown by Zeus. And by Zeus being in charge as, like, the sun and the usurper, that's when we had the fallout of all the other gods and the dramas as we know as Greek mythology today.
Right.
But for the most part, Zeus was replaced when the Romans took over by a god known as Jove, or Jupiter, as we call him now.
Uh-huh.
And Jupiter's known for being the patron to the Roman state, as well as being the creator of thunder and lightning,
wow.
which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Follows
really?
The same role as it did for the Greeks. And then eventually when the Roman Empire fell apart, or when the people who made up those belief systems spread out and influenced others, we had Norse mythology, which had Thor, who is represented as not only a god that can wield thunder, but is also capable of riding a chariot and has like a hammer called Mjolnir, and
mm-hmm.
was like a defender of his realm and was capable of killing certain, and then also hanged out with Iron Man, and it was really, really great. You see that? You've seen that as well, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Great movies.
It was.
Wonderful movies.
Yeah, are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful biceps, like really, really strong guy. Like he's like the poster picture boy of like every guy who's lifting
yeah.
weights right
I
now.
I used to read his comics when I was a kid. He was a favorite of mine.
Oh, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
But, hey, so, you know, you have this literature of this god. You know what he looks like. You know a lot of people are fans of him. Why can't he be a god today? Or why can't he just be worshipped? People worshipped him before. Why not just bring it up again? In fact, I met a guy who I used to work out with who just decided to worship the Norse gods because it was part of his culture. And he got a tattoo, and he's just like, you know, I'm not really down for Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
I want to worship some of these Norse
yeah.
beings.
Yeah.
It's
well,
just a little bit more closer to me.
They make a lot more sense because, you know, if you have one god and conflicting things happen, then you have a problem explaining it. But if you got multiple gods, it's like a soap opera. You can always just say, well, this god was working against that god. No wonder it happened.
Right.
You know, he explains a lot more. Anyway,
right.
Go on to Freya, because I want to talk about the Almighty Johnsons. Have you ever heard of them?
No, I have not.
Go ahead.
But anyway,
mm-hmm.
let's go on to Freya.
Uh-huh.
Freya, so you know what? what's the day that I feel the most pretty? What's the day that I feel the most beautiful? It's got to be Friday. It's got to be Friday because that's the day everyone's looking forward to the weekend. Everyone's having a good time. Everyone puts on their best clothes. And it falls into the day of Freya's Day, which was based originally on the Greek god Aphrodite. She's the goddess of love and beauty. Eventually, when the Romans took over, Aphrodite got kicked out and replaced with Venus. And Venus is the Roman god of love and beauty. Mm-hmm. And then this is where it became really interesting. The Teutonic god or the Germanic god, Frigg or Frigga, was the goddess of the clouds in the sky, but also of love, and particularly married love, because they're pretty conservative people.
Sure.
There's also a Norse god named Frigg, who was the wife of Odin, or the god that Wednesday was named after. And it was actually really, really cool to see that, you know, between the Teutonic gods, or the Anglo-Saxon gods, the Roman gods, as well as the Greek gods, we have more or less the same theme of a god of love and beauty on Friday. And it seems like, I'm a little sad that it's one of the last days that we, after, you know, the sun, the moon, war, money, guys who can shoot lightning out of their bodies, that love takes us such a backseat, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it does say a lot, maybe, about, you know, not necessarily about priorities, but what was important to people even back then. That love was an important thing. That peace was an important thing.
Yeah, one of seven and had to be love. That's good.
And I'm glad it made the top seven.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So those are our days of the week, guys. You know, we're here on Wednesday, which is named after the Norse gods of Thor, messengers of the gods, particularly gods of commerce. We have Thor's Day, which is like your action figure day, just like the coolest dude around who can shoot thunder and lightning. But lightning and thunder being these really amazing things. We have Friday, which is about freedom. Saturday, which is about the father of Zeus himself, but really about agriculture, keeping ourselves, you know, healthy and food. Basically, food. Food is Friday, or food is Saturday. And then Sunday, Sunday and Monday are, of course, named after the sun and the moon. And then I think we followed up lastly with Tuesday, which is the war god, and then which is also possibly what Yahweh is, basically. Just say war god for the Christian faith.
Yeah.
And those are our days of the week, guys. Not bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty good where I'm at.
I have a question, though. You would think their priorities that they would have named a day after Bacchus, the god of drinking. With their priority. They should have had one in there. They should have cut down the other ones and made room for them. Anyway, for one of them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, that's really fascinating. Because what would happen if we had an eighth day of the week? What god would we name it after?
Yeah,
what kind of idea? What's as important to us after food? Most likely drinking, I think.
That'd be a good mind exercise for everybody.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. No, I wanted to mention.
So you had something.
Yeah, all of these names are coming home to me because I have been watching a series on Netflix called The Almighty Johnsons. It's about a bunch of brothers. There are four of them, I think, and other people that are basically the reincarnation of Norse gods. And they don't know it until they turn 21. And the first episode is about the last member, the last brother turning 21, and they march him out in the woods. He doesn't know what's going on, and they have to explain to him that he's going to be a god. And it's funny. You have these, like, bumpkin brothers that are out there, you know, just trying to live a life, trying to get work and stuff. But they are also, they know that they're Norse gods. And what's funny is you have Odin, you have Thor, you have Freya, and I think you have Tyr, which would have been Tuesday. All of them are old Norse gods. So all of these names were coming home to me as you were mentioning them and explaining to them. But it's a really funny series.
Very cool.
Yeah, if you get a chance to watch The Almighty Johnsons, it's pretty good. It does have a kind of an adult theme, so be aware. But it's definitely worth watching. That's Netflix. Check it out.
What that tells me is that even today, we're still making mythologies off of these guys.
Right. Yeah.
But not as gods, but as characters. And we can still find meaningful stories that are still like worthwhile to watch and listen and maybe even learn lessons from.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to take them as a truth. You know, we could just enjoy them for what they are. It's like parables to like enjoy and entertain ourselves and learn things from.
Right.
And I think that's what is the ultimate end goal for, like, I feel most religions, as as an ideal state. Like, we don't have to get rid of them. We just need to have them in the right context.
Right.
They are in our history books. They're
valuable
lessons.
It's just like nursery rhymes. They're valuable lessons to be gleaned from them. You don't have to believe them to be literally true to get the lessons. Think of all the works of Shakespeare and some of the older works, like the Epic of Gilgamesh, where the Great Flood came from. They carry good stories with good morals, and you don't have to have them true for the message itself to be worthwhile.
Exactly. It's also as important as knowing what days of the week got which gods. Mm-hmm. It gives us insight into how people thought even back then and what they valued as really important to them. Like, clearly the sun was really important to the people back then. The moon was really important to them. Mm-hmm. As much as it, maybe even more so than it was today, because, you know, we have our artificial lights. We may not even think of the sun as, like, this all-powerful being. Back then, to them, it was everything.
Right.
But beyond the sun and the moon, they had war. There was maybe fear for their lands, fear for their futures, fear for their sons, you know, the lives of their family members. But they also had things like, you know, love. They had time for love. They had time for agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really, really beautiful to see that, you know, human society, even back then, while they're afraid of thunder and lightning coming from the sky, they had also time to appreciate for days at a time the value of love and beauty and of taking care of the earth to sustain themselves. It's a beautiful thing, and I think we have a lot to learn from it. In the proper context, because when we refuse to believe it for what it is and take it as a literal truth, we lose the insight that's also just as valuable, if not more so.
Right.
So I think that's worthwhile.
Yeah, right. If the listener would like to learn more about it, heck, you know, there's a lot of information out there. I'm looking right now at a webpage from Wikipedia called Names of the Days of the Week. It's a very long article that goes in the depth of all the different cultures and the gods that were used to name the days, and how they changed over time. The same god, you know, gets different names in different cultures over the passage of time. Also, if you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by going to digitalfreethought.com. You can read the articles and get information about us here, about us there. You can listen to old shows. Just go to the podcast section of digitalfreethought.com. Excuse me. You can also write us at digitalfreethought@gmail.com. Is that it?
That's it.
Wombat. So do that.
That's it.
And we'll be happy to respond. And, of course, keep in mind that this is a call-in show, and you can reach us during the show at 865-333-5937. Write that down, 333-5937, which is the general...
333-5937.
Right. It's a general number for the station anyway, so if you're calling in other programs, that's the number you'd call as the same as our program. And that brings us to the top of the hour, pretty much. Do you have any last words? We have a minute or two.
So everything that I said, don't believe it. Don't do it for fact.
People
are going to question everything.
That's
and
right.
If you could do that, that's worthwhile.
Remember,
that's
we're talking
fun,
basically legends here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Question everything, and if you're lucky, you might just change your mind on something.
Remember, evidence is everything.
Have a good week.
Right. And my final word is: everybody's going to somebody else's hell. Don't sweat it until the hells and heavens and souls are proven to exist. In the meantime, have a good life, and we'll see you next week. This is
Digital. See you next week.
This is Doubter 5 and Wombat. See you next week. Bye.
Wombat.
listening to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.